Welcome into the National Hour on Real Kipper and Bourne. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in General Manager of the New Jersey Devils, Tom Fitzgerald. 10 games on tap. Winnipeg's going at it. Vancouver, Edmonton.
Have we given Winnipeg their due yet?
Well, I think they got it the other night, taking care of the New York Rangers.
We had the general manager of their team on Monday. We've been talking with them lots.
It's true.
And by the way, thanks. Shout out to Ashley, who sent me a DM. It was Taylor Swift that booted me off the highway.
Yeah,
it was a big motorcade.
The national listeners, Sam McKee was railroaded off the highway today by Swifties motorcade.
Where's the helicopter? Well, right, landing on the roof.
This may be a bit of a zag here, but do we really need to shut down a city in rush hour for a pop star? It's absurd.
Okay.
Get a helicopter.
Why don't you just say Pop Tart? Like, I mean,
Pop Star. I didn't say Pop Tart. I said Pop Star.
I'm just saying,
it's absurd.
Like, she is one of the most influential.
Yeah. You can't afford a helicopter?
In the world.
Hundreds of millions swing on these shows. She's got to be
Perfect.
There, Sam.
Get her a helicopter. Fly it to
yes.
the place where she's playing. What are we doing?
That I agree.
City. You had to detour for 10 minutes.
You do pull over on the side.
Oh, my God.
For her.
That was just a little bit. A little much. Holy. But it's almost like we're going to build a statue for a guy that quit on the team next here in Toronto, like Vince Carter.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they should design a jersey about him.
Poor,
this city.
Poor Vince, eh?
Oh,
how did Vince
stray
get...
bullet there.
Oh, this city. Roll out the red carpet some more.
Keep fire punching up at least.
You threw her under the you threw Vince under the her tour bus right
yeah.
now.
Anyways, I think they could get her a helicopter.
Before we bring on Tom, just in terms of the Winnipeg Jets, Tampa Bay, they're in Florida. Sun's shining.
Yep.
Is this the night that they can kind of have an excuse to take their foot off the gas pedal here? Or like how long can this thing go?
It's one of those things where it's like they're going to lose. We know that they're not going to go 81-1. And so we shouldn't make too big a deal out of it when it happens. But it's just tough to see it. Everything's going well. Goaltending's great. Top line's good. Third line's awesome. Fourth line's solid. You know, like they just keep getting points. So. I'm not betting against them.
They did just play against Tampa recently, and they had a pretty spirited game against them. It was a high-scoring affair.
7-4 victory.
It's hard to beat somebody twice in that short a span. I would say that tonight would be a good chance to maybe bet against them.
They had a little stretch here where it's Avalanche, Stars, Rangers, Lightning, Panthers, and they've gone 3-0 through that. So far.
Listen, you're up against Kucherov, so anything can happen, right?
Yep.
But like it is remarkable. You just wonder, like, I don't know, do you want it to be later on in the season when you feel this good? Do you want to have it close to the playoffs?
I honestly feel like this gives you such luxury throughout your season. Like, let's say someone's injured. You know, you can say, all right, well, let's just make sure everyone's healthy and give them some time. You know, it takes a little bit of pressure off things. You can enjoy the day to day because, as we've said on this show already, 500 hockey from here and you're laughing. So,
yeah.
It'll probably be a 100-point team if they're 500 on the way in now.
Does Kyle Connor get the love that he deserves? Like 55, 56 goal pace right now?
I do think that he's in the legitimate Rocket conversation. You know, he's a guy when I was in the American League, pre-scouting games, he scored 8 straight games before we played him. You know, he dominated that level before he got to the NHL. So he's just done this. He just shoots it in the net. He is currently 1 goal back of the league lead, which, you know, not too shabby. 22 points for Kyle Connor in 16 games.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And another milestone tonight, milestone watch, McDavid against the Predators.
Oh, yeah.
Could get 1,000. He does really well against the Predators. Him and Draisaitl both.
You know who does well against Predators too?
Everybody
the
in the
NHL.
League. Everybody in the
NHL.
League.
The Predators. There's an article on Sportsnet from Adam Vingan today. Is, you know, here's why the Predators are last in the NHL. And to be clear, they're last not just in points, but in points percentage too. They are very legitimately in last place with San Jose and Montreal.
I got buddies like they do not want Connor to get it tonight because they're they're going to Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night, Toronto and Edmonton. They wanted to, they want to save it for Hockey Night in Canada. Is 1,000th point.
You should sit Connor out tonight.
That's
for our sake.
No, don't.
No, you're right.
All right. Part of those 10 games tonight include the Florida Panthers and the New Jersey Devils back to back with a day in between. Let's welcome in general manager of those Devils, Tom Fitzgerald. Fitzy, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Doing great, guys. My pleasure. My pleasure.
So did you
sweating my ass off here in South Florida?
Do you remember back to backs having a day off in between?
No, this is unique. You know, we did this in the bubble, right? Back in 20.
And, yeah.
It is unique. I actually kind of like it. It's nice getting the first win, that's for sure. But you know what? It's just something that it's different. It feels like a playoff game, quite honestly. We're excited. We're excited to be here.
Tom, what have you made of your team's start to the season? You've already played 19 games, which is at least three or four more, I think, than most teams, but Metro's a pretty competitive division this year. How do you feel about how things have gone?
I think things have gone well. I think there's some, like every team goes through some inconsistencies at times. Some games you're playing well, you know, special teams are on the down, or you're playing against a hot goaltender and you can't find a goal. But overall, I really like the direction that Sheldon's leading our team, the habits and the details that we're playing with. We're harder to play against. We've got some different characters in the lineup that we haven't had in the past. I think we are a harder team, and we still believe we're one of the fastest teams, especially in transition, with the puck on offense.
So, Fitzy, if you ever see your head coach, Sheldon Keefe, every once in a while with a really big smile, it's only because he doesn't have to listen to us here in Toronto anymore. But I can only imagine what his day-to-day routine was under the microscope here compared to New Jersey, and that's not slighting your market. That's just saying that the reality is there's no other place like it. In markets like Canada?
Oh, you know what? I can't answer that question because I'm not him. It is completely different, for sure. But we have some great fans, and they're very passionate, or as passionate as any team in the league fans about our team. So, we'll get booed off the ice in certain games. You know, you'll get the Bronx cheer. But yeah, I can't answer that. I know he's enjoying himself. He seems relaxed. He's been great to work with. Everything I thought he would be. Like I said, he's got our guys playing the right way, understanding what work is, what compete is, what good habits mean, details. The game within the game. Like he's really laid out. There's a crystal clear picture of what his expectations are with our team, and it's been great.
When I look at your roster, it looks like you have a philosophy because I see a lot of speed up front, and I've talked to people who are like, yeah, aren't they kind of small? And it's like, have you seen their back end? Your back end has a bunch of giants back there. I'm not sure if people are aware how big your D are. Is that something that's philosophical for you, or just you're looking to get the best D possible and they happen to be big in this case?
I'm not going to sit here and tell you I didn't want to get bigger on the back end.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the right players and the right mix of talent and character and hardness. You need puck movers, transitioners, and you need guys that, you know what, you need drummers, right? You know, you need guys that are going to be able to box out hard, make it hard for your opponent at the net front, stick up for their teammates. You know, having the trees back there are pretty good. I think I heard somebody say that might have been Kenny Hall. I'm like, you can have all the trees you want. You can only have maybe one bush, right? So right now we don't have any bushes. We've got a couple in the American League who are going to be really good NHL defensemen. We just feel right now like with our back in particular, it's probably the best depth we've had. When you can send us Simone Nemec to the American Hockey League and Seamus Casey, who had a fantastic camp and is going to be an electric player in our league, you can afford to send them down and really get proper reps. Yeah, and up front, everybody knows what the pillars of our team are. And that's the skill. It's the Nikos, the Jacks, the Bratters, the Timo Meyers up front, the amount of skill we have. And we feel like we've done a good job of filling around those guys with different players, right players, you know, two-way players, harder players. So, no, it's been fun. And, you know, like I said earlier, Sheldon's done a great job of taking a lot of new faces and really, you know, aligning everybody to the common goal.
We're talking to Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, in Florida to face the Florida Panthers for the second consecutive time, albeit one day in between. So, Fitzy, you're watching your defenseman Brendan Dillon take on one of the tougher guys in Gadjovic. Is that what it
Gadjovic,
is? Gadjovic.
Yeah.
And he's throwing like 37 punches, and you're saying to yourself, watching each and every punch, what?
Wow. this is incredible. This is made for TV hockey, you know. And that's what Brendan Dillon does. And he didn't say it to anybody, but he turned 34 the next day. It was his birthday. So he's
present he gave himself.
He knows what his role is, and he knows it's just a different vibe, Nick, to be quite honest. You know, last year we would have been run out of that building after the first period we had. But he stood up, took on the fight, and we felt things changed a little bit for us.
And so I look at the names that you brought in there. You brought in Dillon and you brought in Pesci, who's another big guy. You mentioned that was kind of part of the plan, is getting a little bit bigger. You've also mentioned the word hard a number of times. So that's something that going into this season, you felt that you guys maybe lacked in the past?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to say tell you we didn't. Like, could we look at ourselves? You know, the reason why we didn't go deep in the playoffs 2 years ago, there's a reason why we didn't make the playoffs last year. Hard is a common word in our game, because every game is hard. And if you don't play hard, and if you're not hard, it's a tough league to win. So we wanted to do that. And you know what's contagious? You know, bringing in certain people like Nason or Cotter, who they don't know any other way to play. This is how they play.
Right.
And it's puck drops, and it's everything they have. And they're finishing every single check, and they're going through guys, and it's contagious. You've seen other guys do it that have been here, and it's just been a fun evolution to watch.
Tom, I want to ask you a little bit about the ever challenges of a general manager when it comes to the salary cap, and you know, particularly these young star players that come out of entry level deals and then jump right into a 7 or 8 year deal and offering them $50 and $60 million. And we know there's a few already that went through that with Jack Hughes on your hockey club, and now his brother's coming along and still very young, still very green. And I want to ask you just in terms about those challenges that you have internally, and not so much deciding and assessing where their talent may take them in 7 or 8 years, but which guys have the capacity to handle that much money that early at age 20 or 21 years of age? It can't be an easy thing to make these decisions.
No, it's not. But everybody's in the same boat, Nick, quite honestly. You know, or everybody's going to be in this situation at some time of their lifespan of being a manager. You're hedging bets here, and you're betting on upside, and you're betting on growth, and you're betting on development, and you're betting on yourself that you can help that person get to those levels that you projected them to get to when you drafted them at 17 and 18 years old. So, yeah, it's not an easy thing, but you feel good when you do hit, when it's right. I would say, you know, the majority of the kids you're talking about are all super players. Right? They're you know they're going to continue to grow. You know they're going to continue to get better and develop because they're passionate about the game and they want to be the best that they possibly can be. And so, but it is a calculated risk, or a calculated bet. I don't want to say risk, but it's something that every team goes through. You know, when you're going through something like that, you know, you got good players.
Yeah, that's a situation you want to find yourself in. I'm curious about a guy at the other end of the spectrum, well, 10 years older anyway, in Dougie Hamilton, now 31. You know, missed a lot of hockey last year, but boy, it feels like you guys are a different team when he's in and contributing, playing 21 minutes this year. Potential name for Canada's Four Nations Faceoffs team. Tell us how he's looked in his return, getting back to things this season.
Oh, he looks really good. Like he looks strong. He plays with Brendan Dillon. There's more courage there, which is obviously nice to see. And he's playing, you know, he's playing the hardest I've seen him play over the last few years here. And, you know, he's not, you know, the points aren't there like they were a couple years ago, but his overall game has really improved under Sheldon because it's commanded. And, you know, you asked me what you mentioned about, I keep using the word hard. Having good defenders is important too. You need to know how to defend, and Dougie is right now the best I've seen him defend it.
Hey, Tom, we know that coming out of the Hall of Fame, the general managers did get together. So much talk about video review, not just getting the call right, but getting it done as quickly as possible. We had a game last night with the Toronto Maple Leafs in Washington. We saw a number of calls being disputed and then waiting on the results. Where do you sit on all of this in terms of what we can do to better the system?
Yeah, it's a great question. We touched on it, but didn't get into deep discussions on it. You know, how's this? The refs have the hardest job out of anybody on the ice. They've got to make right calls. They've got to be at the right time in the game. You know, if they lose sight of the puck, then, you know, the whistle's being blown. You know, is there discussion about Toronto, the war room helping out in certain situations, modern day technology, can you go direct to the ref at that moment in real time versus, you know, waiting for the play to end? So there's a lot of discussions, but at the end of the day, it's all about evolution and trying to continue to evolve the game and help the refs, because they do have the hardest job in the world.
Tom, there's been some years where the Devils have had pretty darn good teams, and it feels like they've been submarined by their goaltending. You made a real effort this offseason getting Jacob Markstrom, Jake Allen's there as well. How have things felt? You know, tell us about the process of making that decision to get new goaltenders and how it's working out for you.
Well, you're right. It went back to early discussions early last year on goaltenders with other managers. And as we approached the deadline, you know, Jake Allen is a guy that we identified as somebody that could come in and partner up with a guy who's a true number one. We didn't have him. We didn't have that yet. But we laid down the plan. We had to convince Jake Allen actually to waive his no move or put us on his no move list, or take us off it, by telling him what we're going to try to do in the off season. He did. He came in. He played great. He's such a veteran. He's such a good teammate. He played really well for us. And then, you know, trading VTech at the deadline to free up that extra year of contract is important, so we could have flexibility in the offseason. And Jacob Markstrom was our number one target. We got him. I think both goalies have really complemented one another, and both have played well. You know, for the most part, they played well. So, we feel we're different. It's a different feel, quite honestly, Justin. Like, even for me, sitting way up, it's like, just like, oh good, he stopped the first shot. We're in a game.
That's how good it's been, eh? Or how bad it's been.
Yeah.
Tom, so many general managers use the American Thanksgiving as this gauge to truly understand where their team is or what their wants and needs are. You buy into that, or you know all along where you want to maybe head towards a trade deadline personally?
I think I use like a 25 game mark, you know, and that probably coincides with U.S. Thanksgiving. I think you know what your team is. Like we know what our strengths are. You're always looking to add depth. I want to see what this group can continue to do before we make any decisions on a need. You know, we still have a couple of injuries. Guys who are a big part of our fourth line in Curtis LeVar and Nate Bastian. You know, so we're just kind of patchworking internally right now. It's the Dowlings and the McDermotts who have come in that they've played well. Yeah, we're just going to continue to just kind of evaluate that. You know, again, I'd like to add some more speed into our lineup, whether that's on the bottom end or you just never know what's going to be there. And we'll start really discussing this stuff right after Thanksgiving, quite honestly. When you get to early December, you're meeting with your pro group, and this is where we're at, and this is what we probably want to add. Great.
Tom, good luck in Florida, man. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. See you guys.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for your time.
That's Tom Fitzgerald, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, and at times the fastest show on ice. There are some nights I'm watching them, and it's like, am I in fast forward?
Yeah. He's like, we want to add more speed.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Bratt, Hughes, Hischier, Nason skates, Meyer can move.
Mercer, you know, yeah, that Mercer flies.
How about Paul Cotter's year? 24 years old, 6'2", 210, 7 goals, 5 assists for 12 points already. Like, he's just kind of humming along for them.
Excellent hands. Yeah. Some of the best hands in the league.
And Luke Hughes is one of those guys that could find himself on a new deal starting at $7 million.
Yeah.
I saw your article today.
I wrote an article today for the Toronto Star on Matthew Knies.
Mm.
And
are we allowed to talk about that in the National Hour?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, okay. In general. And the article is more about, for me, just these kids coming out of entry-level deals and being in a situation where they're amongst the highest paid guys on the team, and they're barely eligible to vote. Like
Jack Hughes is 23. He's been making $8 million. He's going to be making it for a long time. That's a steal of a deal.
When's his contract end?
Oh God, I don't know. 2030.
You know, but he's old news. I'm talking about Slafkovský and Owen Power, mm-hmm, and some of these kids who are now finding themselves. Their talent's worthy of that number, and it's a fairly safe bet, as Tom Fitzgerald just told us, on their talent. Mm-hmm. But the perception out there is like, we're really good now, Buffalo. We're really good right now, and Mason Raymond's like got one goal, and
Mason who?
Lucas.
Lucas
Raymond.
Yeah,
Lucas Raymond in Detroit. Yeah. Like, one goal. It's like, didn't you just sign for $8 million? Aren't you supposed to lead us to the playoffs now?
Right.
It's like, I'm only like 21. Yeah, I'm only 22.
You're asking for an awful lot. I'm young. It's like, wait, you just asked for an awful lot.
I just got a credit card.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very fair point. One of my things, were I to be a general manager, is that I think you have to be careful who you give long-term deals to, just as people. Just, you really have to trust the individual as a person, that, you know, they are a hockey obsessive nerd and this is the most important thing to them, because it's not to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, Alexis Lafreniere is a pretty good example of,
huge Lafreniere guy.
Yeah. Like, we all are now.
Yeah.
Right. But it took a while for him to get there. There's a lot of people that doubted him.
Yeah, that makes me trust it more,
right?
Though.
And then it got to the point where they bridged him, mm-hmm, because they weren't thrilled with his work ethic and felt like he wasn't committing himself enough. But so they sat on it.
Did he sign? Or was there a report that he was going to sign?
7.45.
No, he signed.
Yeah. He did sign?
But he came out of his entry-level deal and signed a bridge deal. He didn't jump.
Yeah,
from
2.
Like
3 was
from 8.75, like potentially Matthew Knies can do, mm-hmm, this summer, because his deal's up.
So, what are your thoughts? Would the Leafs be better off to bridge or commit to Knies?
Yeah, no.
I think
they're better off just giving him like $60 million.
Agreed.
Yeah,
you do.
I do too.
Yeah, I think just
over 8 years.
Of course, 8 years. Yeah. You're not giving him $8 or $7 million if you don't get the full $8 million.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real belief out there that the cap could hit $105 or $110 million in like 5 or 6 years.
I read
so you're covered. You're going to cover. You're going to cover.
If he's going to score 30 goals and be a monster on the PK and forecheck and all that, that's
it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I read in I think it was a Joshua Cloak article that the Leafs have two players nicknamed Brick, and one is Joseph Woll because he's the Brick Woll, and then the other is Matthew Nyes. Go ahead and guess why. Just a bit of a brick.
He's just ass.
A large guy who makes some mental errors at time. I think.
Dumb as a brick, is that what you're going to say?
I think physically or, and mentally, maybe it's a bit of a fitting nickname.
You could ask Dowd why his nickname is Brick.
Yeah, for the record, I'm not saying he's a dumb guy. Oh, the team has given him the nickname. It's in an article, all right?
He's a brick.
He's a brick, yeah. Poor Dowd, he didn't come back, eh?
He did come back.
Did he?
He did come back.
And they took a stupid penalty.
Yeah, he got a broken nose.
Was that him at the end of the game?
Yeah.
He's got a broken nose.
Well, and ironically, it was Nyes who he pulled down there, too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Nyes just took his nose off his face with his eyes closed there.
Ugh.
But, I mean, come on. Like, some of these guys are just, like, blue chip stocks. You just know.
Get in on the ground floor
of
plastics.
Get in on the ground floor.
So, it goes up.
So then, you think he would take that contract?
You know what?
Cool?
No, see, I think you're wrong because
he's pretty good. He's pretty good.
See, the cap is moving up. So whatever you think that marketplace is, you can make an argument that that's old money. So even Bridges now, instead of a bridge being like for some of these young kids anywhere between like 1.9 and 2.5 now can get into the threes and fours. Mm-hmm. So a guy like Matthew Nyes could argue that he doesn't want to make six and 7 years from now. He wants to make 9 or 10. So,
but then here's the issue.
Here's the issue.
Prove it. Go prove it. Then you know, like he had 15 goals last year. Well, if he ends up scoring 22 this year,
yeah,
you know, there's not that money's not there. Like but you get injured.
For me, it's not just the numbers, though. And we all three of us know it's not just the numbers. I know that's what the Leafs would show, but you watch this guy play. The impact he has physically on the game and just his size and his presence.
He's rare with that maybe that five tool thing, but it's the same argument or principle for all of them. And that is like where's your cutoff line of feeling like how can I turn down $50 million, take it right now?
Yeah.
And how am I going to feel in 2 or 3 years? Like, I can't believe for 1 second Jack Hughes is really all that thrilled 6 years from now. He's still going to be making $8 million when Leon's at 14 and everybody's jumping to 16, 18.
You guarantee yourself. But to me, like, you're going to end up being Brad Marchand at that point if you're Jack Hughes. And I don't like that contract for Hughes at all, but you're right. It was a big enough number that they're like, I guess I should do it.
And good on him. Tom Fitzgerald looks like a hero right now to build around that and spread the money and all of it. But
number one pick, that's a risk. It just was never worth it for Jack Hughes.
So he doesn't sign for 7 times 8, but maybe he can get 4 times 2, right? Maybe he can get...
For Nyes?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just to get him to free agency.
By the way, Luke Hughes is going to make more than Jack Hughes.
Luke Hughes should absolutely make more than his brother.
Like Jack Hughes, I'm like, what just happened?
How did this happen?
I'd be talking to my agent. I'd be like, that was 2 years ago I signed that. You didn't see this coming?
Yeah, 2030, it's gonna expire. So he's 23 now. So he'll be 29, 30.
Yeah, he'll have a chance to get paid.
He'll get another monster bag at that point.
And the cap
you know?
Should be higher than it is, but they negotiated it to pay off the debt of the escrow. Mm. So in theory, once the players don't owe any more money to escrow.
Are they not anymore? They still owe money to escrow?
Oh, maybe a couple hundred million or something.
Oh. Just a couple hundred schmil?
Yeah. But once it's wiped out, that cap should jump. Yeah. Jump. And everybody wants in on
time to commit
on new
for 8
money years
is your point. Bridget, baby.
Well, we'll see what Connor does with that.
What's his name? Fred Van Vliet. Bet on yourself.
Yeah.
All right, Sammy.
Game time?
Time game.
Let me get my sheet here. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So I was met talking about McDavid and Draisaitl both absolutely own the Nashville Predators. Like, I can't remember what the number is for. I think in 27 games, Leon Draisaitl has a goal a game. Like, he scored, I think, 27 or 28 goals against them. And McDavid's 1 point away. I love a same game parlay of both those guys to score tonight, which pays plus 400. So,
do you think McDavid wants to save it for Hockey Night in Canada? No, he hates attention. He wants this out of the way. He's actually a great bet to get like 3 points tonight.
Yeah. So I like him to score tonight. I like Leon Draisaitl to score in that game. Which, you know, it's a get to 1,000 the fourth fastest. It's a big night. So give me that. And the other game that I was looking at was we just had Tom Fitzgerald on, and the New Jersey Devils are big underdogs tonight in Florida. Probably, you know, second game, hard to beat a team twice, plus 135 on the money line. The Florida Panthers are minus 160. Don't really have a lean on that one. I think the Devils are a pretty good team, but if you wanted to lay the juice with the Panthers, they're probably not going to lose twice in a row the same team in 1 week, but I don't really have a lean on that one.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say something there.
Yeah, I did have something to say, and now I don't remember, so carry on.
And the biggest favorite on the board tonight, the New York Rangers, home to the San Jose Sharks, minus 425 on home ice against against the San Jose Sharks on money line.
Why don't the Rangers just give Shesterkin more money than Panarin and get it over with?
What are we doing here?
Okay, well, let me wrap up game time. We'll take a break. And we can talk about that on the other side. How's that sound?
All right, make like a Christmas tree and wrap it up.
Christmas, you wrap up Christmas
tree? You mean a Christmas gift? Or?
It's Thursday, I'm tired.
Okay, and that was game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only.
That's
please play responsibly. That's you really landed the plane on that one, buddy.
That's a Darren Millard kipperism, as he refers it to.
Pieces of crap like you for breakfast.
You're a piece of crap for breakfast. All right, we'll take a quick break and do that Christmas tree thing after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, after we said that we were going to go to break, talking Shesterkin and the New York Rangers. And the guy that's made it real clear to the New York Rangers, I want to be the highest paid guy. I'm the most valuable player. Is there anyone that can argue that?
Anyone other than him? No.
There's no debate. He is the most important player on the team.
Yeah, I mean, Panarin's got 10 goals and 22 points in 14 games. He's not bad.
Solid. Solid.
He's 10 more than the next best guy in the team.
And he signed how long ago?
100 years ago.
Yeah, okay. So
let's talk his number.
The Rangers, when Kevin Weeks said, what, a month ago? 6 weeks ago?
No, why is that long?
4 weeks ago?
Kevin Weeks.
2 weeks ago?
That tweet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
11 million.
A week ago? Yeah. 10 days ago?
I think he had another one that suggested 11.5. I'm talking about the one that said...
Oh, yeah.
11.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
11. It's like... like, if we just told you that, you know, we expect to be the highest paid, why are you going 11?
Right.
And I can't believe for one second that they were, I don't know what the term to use, that they were confident enough that if 11 didn't do it, 11.5 would do it. Mm. It's like they told you what the number is.
Right.
Basically, it's like anything north of Panarin at 11.6. So if you want to avoid 12.
Panarin, by the way, Panarin makes 11.6, and that was signed in 2019 when the cap was 81.
2019. Yeah. That's a lifetime ago.
No,
that's in the Raptors
with the cap.
The championship.
Right? With the cap.
Yeah, they won the championship that year.
But like, if you've got a real shot at trying to keep the number below 12,
yeah,
then go offer him 11.75, mm-hmm, leak it, say we met your demands of being the highest paid player on the team, and it's done.
Well, and they're really grinding possibly over nickels then at that point, right? Like they're trying to save $250,000 per year on this deal.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah, like to
it's not worth
piss
it
off the arguably the best goalie in the league, yeah, or one of the top three.
Yeah. Like if we go back to, like, I don't think for 1 second that the Edmonton Oilers really thought that they'd need to go to 14 for Leon Draisaitl.
You don't think they needed to?
No, I'm saying I don't think that they expected to.
Oh, really?
I think that the number that they thought that they could get away with would have been low 13s. Mm-hmm. And then Leon said, this is the number.
He said, ah.
This is the number.
He said, actually, it's 14. They said, then it's 14.
And then they said, yeah, it's 14.
Yeah, well, good with that.
And then it's 14.
I was going to say that myself.
Leon could have gone 14.25. He could have gone 14.5.
Like, could have done 14 in his cute little number.
He went 14, but bottom end 14, and really still, I thought, gave the Edmonton Oilers a break.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So once you start going above 14 and you want to tap into the 14.25s or the 14.5s, then you run the risk of everybody being a little pissed off.
Everybody being teammates?
No, probably
management
or ownership. Right?
Yeah.
Because let's not forget, like, on top of the salaries, these star players, they get looked after really well.
Yeah.
Really well. That's stuff that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how you get into the All-Star game? Ah, take my plane.
Oh,
you know,
really?
That kind of thing. Right? And you want everybody to be happy.
Yeah.
So 14 was a good number that made everybody happy. And that's what the Rangers should be doing with Shesterkin.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's actually borderline insulting, given his age and what he's done in the league, and he's clearly worth that much money. And then you look, I get the Rangers having a grind, though. You know, that Zibanejad contract is going to get a little concerning, right?
He's not playing well.
Not playing well. 31 and, years old. He's under contract at $8 million per till 2030.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough.
He's got 2 goals in 14 games, and he's -6.
That's tough.
That's so you know,
-4 against Winnipeg.
So you have some bad, there's some contracts you don't love. All of a sudden, you go, we need to, you know, save $250,000 on a guy we really need to keep. That's trouble. So, I don't understand. And this is my own naivete. Like they're this close. Like the numbers we're talking about for Shesterkin are either 11.25, 11.5, 11.75, 12. Seems like everybody knows that, and maybe the number's 12. How are they not able to just, like, it's going to happen here. So let's just get in the room.
Unless it's not going
to
happen.
There's no, like, they're going to let him go to UFA?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like, as long as you're still not as sure as you just mentioned you should be. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. It's like, well, then why hasn't it happened?
Right.
And that's the danger, is why hasn't it happened?
What you're saying is he's going to be on the Golden Knights next year.
he's
going to sign for $6 a year. He's going to sign for $6 a year.
He is a modified no trade.
There is
10-team no trade.
You know,
Vegas is not on that list. Teams, I promise you that.
Teams and owners also run the risk of sometimes, like, players can emotionally move on.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Yes. Yeah, it's not the be-all, end-all. And here in Toronto, Mitch Marner.
Oh, boy.
Like, so Mitch is off to a pretty good start, but he's also had now probably since the summer to mid-November going into Christmas, the thoughts of where else can I play? Where's my family want to be? Do you like it there? Do you not like it there? Maybe I do some research, talk to other players. Like that's what, it's like planting a seed. And sometimes the seed can grow a little bit. And then sometimes you find yourself in February or March and you're like, I'm emotionally checked out of here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You think the Leafs have made Marner an offer?
No.
No?
And if it has, I don't think it's a serious, legit offer.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like, let's get this process started. Here's what we would like to do.
I don't know. See, the problem there, and specifically with the Leafs, is that you've already had ample opportunities to try to win Stanley Cups with, you know, four guys in particular. You're apparently going to take another run at it if you sign Marner and you somehow find yourself losing in the first round. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not good, mm-hmm. right?
It's not good. So what you're telling me is...
So what I'm telling you...
Is he's gone.
No.
Well...
No. What I'm telling you...
He's going to sign in the last week before the...
Is everybody's rolling the dice here. That's okay. What I'm telling you. That you're going to go all season long with Mitch Marner. You're going to get to your playoffs. And if there's success and it's good... And everybody's happy, and he's proven that you can win with this guy, and you can prove you can win with Willie and Tavares, then everybody cashes in.
Here's a perfect way. You know, this wasn't a planned true or false. Mitch Marner, October 9th, 2025, my 37th birthday, opening night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mitch Marner on the Toronto Maple Leafs. True or false?
False.
Yeah, I'll probably say false, too.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, boy.
You run the risk of, at this point, if you're Marner and you're saying, you know, the Leafs want to see, can they have, can you succeed in the playoffs? Can we win with you? Can you be good enough? And then you go out and have success in the playoffs and go, well, you didn't believe me? Like, I knew I could. To hell with you guys. I don't know. It seems like an emotional.
You're playing the percentages, and the percentages, if this core group has had like four or five legitimate opportunities to move forward, and they did it marginally by beating Tampa Bay once. And it's, what are the odds of them going to a conference final or Stanley Cup final?
10%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're smarter than me.
It's probably about what the model would say. I don't know. Maybe.
So why do you want to sign him in November, Sammy, or December?
Because he's good.
Yeah.
And you're not better without him, and it's not something I necessarily would love to do, but it feels like...
It feels like a necessary evil to me. That's how you end up, we have 100 points.
The cap's going up. Yep. Okay, the cap's going up. So there's going to be more room, more flexibility. Mm-hmm. Should be easier to sign guys now that want a little bit more money.
How much more? Mr. Kiprios, how much more?
Oh, nobody knows the answer to that.
Oh, okay.
How much would you pay Marner?
What's he make now? 11?
Yeah.
Just under 11?
Yeah. 10-9.
I would pay him in the 12 range.
He gets the Willie deal. Give him 11.5.
I'd give him more than Willie. I think he's a $500,000 better than Willie. I would give him 12 million for 8 years.
It's a lot of money.
It is, for sure. But I don't think he takes that. I think he wants more than that. Right?
That's probably a little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But so he's slotted perfectly under Auston Matthews and ahead of William Nylander. That's how I would view it, but I'm not Mitch Marner, so let's move on from
Okay, where else are we going here?
Did you see, I know you're going to be really excited about this. I wanted to ask you about this, Kipper, because I knew this was right up your alley. Did you see the Chicago Magazine, they recreated the famous scene from Ferris Bueller with Connor Bedard?
Yeah, I did.
You liked that, didn't you?
It feels like a movie that might
first
be in
of
your
all,
wheelhouse.
I loved that movie.
All right.
That's on my top five favorite.
Yes.
Movies. No
great,
question.
Great movie. Yeah. And just to do like three quarters of that movie in a Gordie Howe jersey is
awesome.
Really cool.
Especially in Chicago, like as like the lifetime rival Blackhawks, Red Wings. Like it's like a whole thing there. I love that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Didn't love Bedard?
Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. Bedard looked great.
Okay, wow. I thought for sure you'd be like, shifts are too long. They're going to get bent out of shape about it.
Listen, he's just a kid. He's just a kid. He's not, you know, he's not having the season that he would have hoped. I'm sure the league is, you know, not
Bueller.
Thrilled that they're marketing the three-goal score right now. Anyone? Bueller.
This is one of those emotional tied-up questions, too, much like your Mitch Marner conversation, is if you don't take Connor Bedard on this Four Nations face-off team, do you think that pisses the kid off, and does it matter if it does?
Maybe listen to me. This weekend in the Hall of Fame, I'm standing beside Mike Keenan and Steve Yzerman. Mm-hmm. And the conversation came up.
About Bedard?
No.
Oh.
About cutting Steve Yzerman.
Oh.
And if I'm not mistaken, he might have even cut him twice. And I just remember Steve saying, you know, I was really pissed off at you, Mike. But then I looked at the guys that you had ahead of me, and I'm like, I got it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Well,
but so, for them to be so not that's, on there.
That's how Connor Bedard, if Connor Bedard is not on Team Canada.
I don't think he will be.
Just look at the names ahead of you and tell me that you really deserve to be there.
For sure.
You know, but for him not to be there, there's going to have to be like a Lafreniere or a Tom Wilson or a Zach Hyman or that kind of guy.
Who's playing more of a specific role?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm pro Zach Hyman on the team for what it's worth.
Listen, it's a tough league. And everybody knows how fast you can shoot a puck right now.
I bet they would want him around as a 13th guy, though. And just, like, get the experience, be around the whole thing. Mm. You're probably going to use your 13th guy. I don't know.
The only thing you got to wonder, too, is, like, how much they're using this as a stepping stone to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's not to win the Four Nations. It's to get them ready to win a gold medal.
Which is why it's relevant.
So it is relevant. So if that's the case, and you're saying, okay, Bedard doesn't exactly, yes, correct. He doesn't deserve to be on the team, but we know he'll be there 2 years from now, and we need to groom him now.
Yeah.
That's one way that he makes the team, Sammy.
The only way I'll push back on that is, like, I don't think you're going to learn that much in the Four Nations face-off. Would be that much different a player 2 years later. I'm skeptical.
Guys like hanging out and being familiar with each other and...
Yeah.
Oh,
he
I
just
remember.
Doesn't seem to like lack confidence.
Who do you think finished their career with more goals, Macklin Celebrini or Connor Bedard?
I don't know. Do you see Celebrini and Mishkov get into it the other day?
Celebrini's good, boys.
Yeah, he is good.
I've watched a couple Sharks games
I don't know his game well enough, but Connor Bedard's a shooter, boys. He's a shooter. I mean, he should be a top 40, 50, maybe what few years, 60. Connor should hit those numbers.
Yeah. No, I think Bedard is the answer there. But, yeah, not as a commentary on Celebrini so much, who, you know, he's another name. Be curious what kind of year he could have. He's, you know, 3 goals in 5 games
hasn't
so
played
far.
Much.
Curious if, you know, he had a year or two. Could he be a Canadian guy?
You know who's
for sure
dropping like a stone right now? Trevor Zegras.
I think he's a goal and 2 assists on the year or something in like 11.
How old is he?
23.
15 games. In 15 games, he doesn't have 2 goals.
I will have your answers here momentarily. Trevor Zegras, this season has 1 goal in 15 games, 3 points, -6. And yeah, was he on the cover of EA hockey, the NHL game like last year?
They marketed.
Haven't bought one since NHL 14, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
What an old dude. Cool
I know.
Guy
no, I just am old.
Oh,
I used to.
Commentary on the game.
No.
They sold this guy as like he was it.
Yeah.
To your point, you don't just throw anybody on a box.
But who let us in on the direction? Adam Oates. Oates is his guy. And in the year where he was having a good year and doing the Michigan and everyone loved him, Oates was like,
he's gonna stop doing all this for Instagram. Is what he said. I remember that.
Yeah, he talks about winning hockey.
What is Pat Verbeek gonna do there?
I don't know, man. That Alex Killorn contract was terrible from day one. You look at the guys that they've got rid of on the back end over the years. You look at Lindholm in Boston and Theodore in Vegas. And like, those were young guys when they got rid of them. Young enough. I don't understand.
All right. 10 games tonight. Winnipeg at Tampa. You see it going still for the Jets tonight?
No.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Your Islanders will be tired against Vancouver.
Islanders are in real trouble. Real trouble.
Edmonton comes to Toronto Saturday night after a big win against Nashville. Huge.
Yeah.
2 or 3 goals.
High.
Whichever game you pick, enjoy it. And we're back tomorrow off the rails Fridays. Are we going to hunt down Doug McLean on a Friday?
I'll text him, see what he says.
All right. What we can do.
That's what we're down to, everybody. Have a great night.